Hallelujah. There is a reason why God makes you spare your life till today. There is a reason why you are still among the living. There is a reason why you were born. Everything God created has a purpose. There is a reason. There is a reason. Somebody said that word in the Bible. His name is David. In the book of 1 Samuel, and I want us to read it together. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And the topic that I will be sharing with us is understanding God's purpose for your existence. Everybody say it with me. Yes, understanding God's purpose for your existence. It is very, very important that as a child of God, as a human being, as someone that God makes to be alive till today, you need to know your purpose. When you know your purpose, certainly you will be fulfilled. But if you don't understand your purpose, if you think your purpose is just to be alive, sleep, wake up, go to work, come back, sleep, wake up, go to work, come back, you will just be going through that routine life every single day and living an unfulfilled life. But when you understand your purpose, why God made you to be who you are, why God made you to be alive, you will have a focus. And you will be sure that that focus, that goal is accomplished. David, we all know the story of David. Amen? At a point, there was a battle between the Goliaths that we all know as we read the scripture, the Philistines and the Israelites. David actually was not supposed to be at a point of the battlefield at the time, but because he knew his purpose, when you know your purpose, you will know where to be at the time that you need to be there, what to do at a particular time. Time management will not be an issue for you because you will have priority. I was saying before that it is important to know that everything God created has a purpose. God created nothing for entertainment. Even he created beautiful things, but they are not for entertainment. There is a reason. See how beautiful and handsomely you are looking. There is a reason for that. See our brother right here on the 31st of this month is going to be a year. There is a reason why God made him to still be among the living. It would have been a different story standing in remembrance. But God said, no, you are not fulfilled yet. And he turned it around. The purpose of God for creating you must be accomplished. But for that to come to fulfillment, you and I have a major role to play. It's not going to be automatic to come to pass. Because guess what? Somebody will make sure that that purpose is supported. That purpose is not coming true. But at the same time, you are the one that have to say, no, there is a reason for my existence. This is the reason. That is why you need to know the reason, so that you will know what you are working on. Your success is important to God. Everybody say it with me. Yes, my success is important to God more than how it is to you. I want everyone to know today that God put a vision in you. He put a dream in you. He created you with the ability to succeed. But for that to come to pass, you have role to play. Success is built in every product by the manufacturer. When a manufacturer makes a product, product. Trust me. They have put everything that has to be done into that product for that product to be successful because of what? Not because they love you. Of course you're going to buy the product. The reason why they put all their best in that product is because they want that product to be successful. To make you happy is less priority to them, but to protect their reputation is highly important to them. God made you in His image, and He put all that He requires for you to succeed in you because of His reputation. That is why there is no failure here. See, all our youth, they are succeeding. Not that they will succeed, they are succeeding already. Because God has put in them all that is required for them to succeed. David happened to come to the battlefield. And he came at the point whereby, see what I'm saying about focus. When you are focused on your goal, you will be working by the timing of the Lord. I'm telling you. Because the steps of the righteous are what? Ordered by God. David came to the battlefield at the right time when he needed to be there. At the time when Goliath made himself the Almighty to the Israelites. And everybody was so afraid. He walked in. He came at the time, verse 29. And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Do you know what led to that statement? Because when he came to the battlefield, the brothers came to him and said, "Why do you think you should be here? You are a little child. You're supposed to stay at home. You are too nosy. That is what you always do. You like to know everything. When you are a focused man, you like to be sensitive. Your spiritual antenna will be alert. You will understand the move of the Spirit of God. You will hear the voice of God in the midst of noise. You will never be distracted by any noise that is going on around you. Emotion doesn't drive focused people. They are being driven by the voice of God. When others are panicking, a focused man will be bold. When others are wavering, a focused man will be steadfast. Why? Because he is not being moved by himself. He is being moved by the Spirit of God. When you hear God, you will go majestically to confront any situation. They came to David. "You're not supposed to be here. You mean you want to be dead? Out there, you're supposed to be home with daddy." But David, being a focused man, know where he's supposed to be, because there is a timing that comes with every achievement in life. When you miss it, it becomes a prolonged journey. That is why you've got to be sensitive. A journey of 1 year can become five when you slack, when you lay back, when you procrastinate. Brethren, when David was being confronted, being questioned as to why are you here? I'm alive for a reason. What did I do now? Is there not a cause for my existence? You need to know the reason, even why you are in Orange Four Square Church today. You are not in church because today is a Sunday. You are in church because today is a day that you need to meet with your God again. Hallelujah. He said that statement and he stood on it. Praise God. Is there not a reason for your existence? There is. You need to figure it out. Even if you are 50, it's not over yet. Even if you are 60, it's not too late. You need to know why you are alive. You need to know why you are where you are. You need to understand why God put that dream in your hands. You need to know why that God gave you the vision of that establishment. You need to understand the meaning of the word of God that He gave you. You cannot just live your life in a blank. You need to understand the purpose of God for your existence. I was talking about a product made by a manufacturer. Understand this illustration, brethren. When a manufacturer made a product, they will package it, right? When they package it, they put a book in the package. What is it called? Manual. When you see a package, when you receive a package, your product that you purchase don't come first. What comes first is the manual. The manual is the mind of the manufacturer, giving you instruction, giving you guidance, giving you warning, and giving you promise about that product. Many of us don't take time to read manual. When you open your package, you just rush and open it, and then you start figuring it out. Because you don't want to take the time to read the manual. And the manual is the manufacturer's mind about that product. It comes with instruction. When you don't study the manual, then understanding the product will take you 2 hours. But if you are taking time to go through the manual, understanding the product will take you less than that. Many of you even end up breaking the product. True? Yes. Why? Because you fail to read the manual. The manufacturer sends the manual for your purpose, for you to understand it, and put instruction in there. And they will tell you to make it work, because they guarantee the success. You know why? They have put their image on the product. And that image is their presence. That is their name. That is their reputation. And they want to make sure that when you get a product and when you use it, it serves the purpose. When it serves the purpose, that is when you are happy. When you are happy, you tell your friend about the product. Your friend, guess what? We buy the product as well. And it continues to spread and spread, and they're making sales. They don't know you. And you're working for them. They will tell you in the manual, if the product is defective, don't try to fix it yourself. Put it back at our own expense. Mail it back at our own expense. We will repair it at our own expense. And if it still does not work, we will send you a new one at our own expense. You will think, wow, these people really love me. They don't love you. They don't know you. They are protecting their reputation. Reputation means a lot. You will understand where I'm going. Reputation means a lot. The manufacturer will go at any length to repair, to repackage, to send a brand new, to do anything they have to do at their own expense in order to guarantee the success of that product. That is, for you to have a product that is working. Praise God. Protecting a reputation means a lot to a manufacturer. Now, brethren, you are a product. If a manufacturer here can go all that way in order to protect their reputation, you are a product of God. You are an image of God. The first thing when God made you, that He gave you, is his image. He put his image on you. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, come, let us make man. Please put it up. Put up that scripture, please. Let us make man in our image. Then God said, let us make human being in our image. To be what? To be like ourselves. Now, see what happened. So that they will reign. Everybody say reign. The purpose of your manufacturer putting his image over you is to guarantee your reigning on earth. Is to guarantee your success. You should not settle for minor in this world as a child of God. We rule and we reign. It's not because you are anything, but because you are the image of your manufacturer, the image of God. Let us make man so that they will reign over fish and the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. 27. So God created a human being in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. 28. Now see this. After the image, because you have the image, God now pronounced a blessing on top of that. God blessed them. And he said, everybody say it with me, be fruitful. Number one. Number two, and multiply. Number three, and fill. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Number four, and govern. Eight. Take this forward. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish. And govern. What does it mean to govern? To govern means to rule. That is why you can rule over sickness. You can rule over situation. You can rule over circumstances because you have the image of your manufacturer, and that image means a lot to him. Your failure means a lot to God. That is why you cannot fail. Say amen. You cannot fail. Yes. You are a product. And God is your manufacturer. This is why he will do all. He will do all. God will do all he has to do to ensure, to guarantee that you succeed because of his image. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 9. Yet for my own sake. Did you see that? For my own sake. Another word for reputation in the Bible is my name's sake. For my name's sake. When you read your Bible, you see this word a couple of times. Whenever God used the word for my own name's sake, for my own sake, he's talking of his reputation. Yet for my own sake and for the honor of my name. Did you see that? For the honor of my name, I will hold back my anger and not wipe you out. Verse 11. I will rescue you for my name's sake. Yes, for my own sake. You see, he keeps repeating it. I will not let my what? Reputation be tarnished. So when you achieve that, you don't think it's your prayer. It's because of his reputation. He saved you because of his reputation, because of his image. See the blessings of God over your life because of his reputation. I will not let my reputation be tarnished, and I will not share my glory with idols. God's reputation means a lot to him. Brethren, he will fight for you. Brethren, he will rise on your case. Brethren, he will stand for you in every situation. Why? Because he has a name to protect. He wants to ensure you succeed. But that is why he keeps multiplying his grace upon our life. The grace of God is upon our life, not for decoration, but for us to live a fulfilled life. Yes. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. Verse 9 through 11. But I didn't do it, for I acted to protect the honor of my name. I will not allow shame to be brought on my name among the surrounding nations who saw me reveal myself by bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. Yes. So I brought them out from Egypt and led them into the wilderness. Verse 11. There I gave them my decrees and regulations so they could find life by keeping it. I'm going to come back to this verse so that you will see the meaning of that verse 11, the last sentence. So they could find life by keeping them. Because it's not just about declaring and decreeing that you are successful. I told you, you have part to play for that to come to fulfillment. The image of God upon our life means his presence. So as a child of God, anywhere you go, you carry the presence of God with you. That is why you are a chosen generation. That is why you are unstoppable in what you are doing. That is why you are different. That is why the peace of God reigns. People don't understand why you are so peaceful. You are so peaceful because you carry the presence, the image, the reputation, the name of the Lord with you. That is awesome. Listen, brethren, that is why when you go for a job interview, you go with the boldness that you have in your God, because you know that it's not you. Somebody is at work and has gone ahead of you to make sure, for his name's sake, that you succeed. Even when you don't, one time I went for a job interview, I couldn't understand the question. And I was trying to, I asked them another question so that they can repeat that question so that I could understand what they are saying, And I still couldn't have the right answer at the time. I'm like, no, these people will not get me. I carry a reputation. I am not ordinary. The Bible says, in him we move. In him we live. In him, you have your being. I began to communicate. Immediately, I have the word. When I have the word, I smile. I said, I understand your question. I understand your question, and I will answer it. But before I answer your question, I would like to get a clarification on something about your organization. Then I asked them my question. The two of them look at themselves. They're like, that's a very, very good question. But can we respond to that question at the end of the interview? I said, because your response has a lot to do with my response to your question. One of them shook my hand. We forgot we were in the interview. Because I was trying to avoid their question. And they too were trying not to respond. They know if they responded to my question, that would help me to answer their question. Right? So I put it back to them. You know why? I received the word. And when I see that they were not able to respond, I said, okay, I will answer your question, but you owe me my response. And I answered the question. And they're like, your response already answered our question. Brethren, be bold. Brethren, be what? Be bold. gave you a vision. It's not your vision. He gave you a dream. It is not your dream. He gave you a business. It is not your job. He gave you opportunity. He is there to reveal His glory because of His image. He wants to ensure you succeed. When you succeed, you know what people say? Wow, praise God. Wow, praise God. Wow, praise God. Everybody praising you. Right? No, God. Who is taking the glory? Everybody praising God. You got to stand on your feet and declare what you know to get what you need to get. You need to understand something. God will never start something until He has completed it. That is God. He doesn't start something until what? When you see God doing something, He has already completed it. So when you think God is starting, people praise God, oh, and God has started. No. He has done it. So where you are is just the conclusion for God. So it means for you to be alive, there is a reason for it. You are to carry out a completed task, which already been done, for you to just execute it. The grace of God upon our life is grace. We must let the grace manifest. The grace of God simply means the doings of God, what God can do. That is the simple meaning of the word grace of God. What God can do, not what you can do. Because you can do nothing. Daniel chapter 3. Let me tell us the story of the three Hebrew men. Because they received the instruction. I told you, when you get a product, you don't read the manual, then you don't understand the instruction, then it doesn't work. You don't get the full, you know, outcome of what the product's supposed to do. But by the time you finally figure it out, it takes some time and all that and all that. Instruction is important. God created you and put His image on you and destined you to succeed, but it comes with instruction. It comes with instruction. The three Hebrew men received the instruction that they must never worship any other god. And when they were being confronted by the law of King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel chapter 3, the word came back to the king that you have three men here. They refuse to bow down to your image. They refuse to follow your instruction. See, I told us one time, you cannot have anything above God that is an idol. When you cherish, when you devote, when you are committed to something else other than God, that has become an idol in your life, then you are missing the manual, the instruction given to you that can affect the success that should come. But these men, they understand that and they refuse. They told the king, there are three men that refuse to follow your instruction. You know what they said? He said, bring them. Bring those men. Let me see them. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Because he spoke. And they said, no. You should stand on your feet. You should follow the instruction. The word of God given to you. Given to you. There is a reason for those instructions. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace. How many times? 7 times. Because he was angry. He said, increase the furnace of the light, of the fire. 7 times. These three men must go in the fire. And they must be burnt alive. When God is with you, when you have the image of your manufacturer, you are not an ordinary. You are peculiar. You are a chosen generation. This flesh can be tortured, but the spirit is alive, and that word that he said is coming to fulfillment. Brethren, you are not alone. You are not alone. He said, eat it up 7 times. I want to teach them a lesson. You don't teach somebody that is following the manual of God. You don't teach them a lesson. They have lessons to teach you. Yes. They have lessons to teach you. Watch and see. I told somebody one time, I said, listen, you don't be afraid of all these prayerful people. Be afraid of a man of the word. Somebody that follows the word of God. You cannot toil with them. See, when it comes to prayer, some people have that gift of spending time and talk. You can't fast, they can fast. Food is nothing to them. That is why God don't go by that. He goes by the man of the word. Who keeps my word? When you keep the word of God and you prayerful, I'm telling you, you are a terror. You are a terror to the kingdom of the devil. Right there, you are a terror. When you stand, the devil knows. When you speak, the devil trembles. When you decree, it is done. You are not alone. You have the host of heavenly with you. So you are a terror. You are dangerous. You are dangerous to the kingdom of the devil. You can stop the work of the devil. You can command the devil. You can resist the devil. You can uproot. You can transplant. You can decree that it will be established. The man of the word. He gives us the instruction. These men, they said, no. We are not bowing down to the image. We have only one God. We cannot have any other God. The king said, I will show you my royalty. I will show you my power. But guess what? The king over all kings stands with the man of the word. There is a king over all kings. And that is the one you have if you are a man of the word. Verse 20. And he commanded certain mighty men. Everybody say mighty men. He did not bring ordinary people. Let the devil bring all his hosts to confront you, a man of the world. Let them be called mighty. It doesn't matter. The only one that is mighty is the one that is already on your side, is the one that you already carry his image, is the one that is standing with you. Hallelujah. He brought mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, to bind Meshach, to bind Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 21, watch and see what happened to the man of the world, man that keeps the instruction of the Lord. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot. The flame of the fire killed the mighty men of Nebuchadnezzar. Have you seen that before? People that brought you into the fire killed them. You that were thrown in the fire, God made it to be air conditioned for you. The fire, in the midst of fire, they were having fun. The host of heaven joins them. They were not alone. The manufacturer's image, the image of God, which is the presence of God, immediately showed up with them in the fire. Ha! He joined them in the fire. He made the fire not to harm them. There is a word that is powerful than words. There's difference between a word and the word. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is a difference between a Word and the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. When you are a man of the Word, you will be powerful than men of words. They can speak anything. They can say anything. But the Word is with you. Hey, hallelujah. Somebody. You know what happened? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're watching the men that throw them in the fire. The men died immediately. Mighty men. They died immediately. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down. That is worship. In the midst of the burning furnace. Yes. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He was astonished. He rose up in haste. He spoke, saying to the counselors, "Did we not cast three men into the fire? I am looking at four. How many people you throw in the fire?" The king of kings, the king over all kings, joined Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar was the first unbelievers to testify and to declare the Son of God. He said they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth person is like the Son of God. You have never seen that in the scripture until here. God will make the unbelievers to bow down. To bow down. Whatever they make as fire, whatever the devil makes as fire, to hit you up, to choke you up. God will use it and make it so palatable for you. Make it so conducive for you. Make it so enjoyable for you. Hey, hallelujah! It wants you to serve this God. Be a man of the Word. He has given you the manual. All you need to follow is the manual. They refuse to bow down. God said, "You stand for me, I will stand with you." Let me tell you, your present condition has nothing to do with your level of tomorrow. When you are a man of the grace, you have the grace of God. My brother Buruzi, he made a fire. Is it for you? When you are at the hospital, some other people with the same situation died, but you came alive. You came alive. Youth, and everyone here today, I want you to know that the grace of God is upon your life to make sure you succeed. Whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. I said whether you like it or not. Every manager here will succeed. Every business here will succeed. Every life here will fly. Everyone will flourish. He said, "I want you to multiply. I want you to replenish. I want you to reign. I want you to govern." That is our calling. So I'm not going by your faith anymore. I'm declaring as a preacher of today that, that whether you like it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, you will govern. You will rule. You will reign. That dream he gave you will not die. That business he gave you will succeed. You will be a giver. You will never borrow. You will not file bankruptcy. Your life will flourish in the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes. We are men of the world. The grace of God has been multiplied upon our lives to show the unbelievers around us that there is God. They will testify like Nebuchadnezzar and said, "Wow, this man is not alone. I see somebody with him. I see somebody with him. That somebody is God." And when God shows up in a situation, the situation takes a 360 degree change. Not just a change, but I mean a change. Yes! This God is awesome. Who don't know God? fish will always flourish if they remain in water. Birds will always fly because they follow instruction. Seed will always bring out trees if it's in the midst of soil and moisture. When you follow divine instruction, brethren, see what the Bible says will happen to you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I'm rounding up. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I'm telling you, you are not alive just because of anything. It brought you back. After 107 days that you were gone, it brought you back so that for a reason. People will see the reason. We're celebrating our youth today. They are the president of tomorrow. Whether color or no color. This one will be hiring and firing. That is the position God has put them. They will have establishments. I'm telling you, guys, wait and see. Parents, wait and see this youth. I'm proud to be their father. I am proud to be their father. I will say yes. Those are my kids. I will be so proud of them. And if I can be proud of them, guess what you are? You are just celebrating. We are celebrating you, the parents. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Study. What? Study. Everybody say it again. Study. Don't be too occupied and not studying. Study. This book, the manual that came with you. You are the package. You are the product. You are the image already. Boom. The image is on you. But you need to study the manual. Don't think you got it. Study. Every day. Take it. You have it on your phone now. You have it anywhere. Create time. Create time. Study the book of instruction. Continually. Don't tell God, God, you know I got it. It's just that I have so many meetings. I'm so occupied. No, create time and study. He gave you that job. He gave you that business. Create time for it. Stop looking at your wife all the time, all the time. Study the Bible. He gave you that wife. Is she going nowhere? Yes. Come on. Create time. Listen. Meditate. Number one is study. Number two is what? Meditate. How do you meditate? You know how you think about your spouse before you finally marry? When you are, I did it too, you know, and she did it too. We all did it. Even pastor did it. Yeah. Everybody did it. No matter how spiritual you think you are, you did it. Don't tell me you are too holy. You are too holy. You did it. Come on, you did it. When you are alone, you meditated. Hallelujah. Meditate. Do that same way. Take that scripture, that one verse, sit down, begin to what? What does it mean to meditate? You keep thinking about it. Where's my glasses? You keep thinking about it. Keep thinking about it. And as you are thinking about it, the source is giving you more resources from that word. It's giving you more meaning. Life is coming over you for you to get to where you are going. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure. Number three, to what? Obey. When you study, when you meditate, obey some part of it. Everything written on it. Now, let's read that together. Only then, again,
only then.
Again,
only then.
Can you now read it well?
Only then,
only then will you and in see the clause. and is easy and is faithful. Only this. Not just study. God, you say, oh, I read my Bible. No. It doesn't go like that. You have to now go to meditate. Number three, go to obey. And then, after you've done those three, I'm telling you, people of the world, they don't pray that much before it happens in their life. Prayer is good. Prayer ministry, please, you are blessed. We are not closing you down. You are teaching us a lot. But I'm saying that some things we pray for, not here, I'm not saying that. Some things we pray for only require these three things. You don't have to pray. So that we can pray on the things He wants us to pray for. That is His promise. I'm telling you, see how gorgeously you are looking. Did you pray for it? We don't even remember how to pray, what to pray for sometimes. But when you study, when you meditate, and when you obey, you are sure to succeed, to flourish, to replenish, to multiply, to govern. I'm telling you, it is a sure banker. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Praise the Lord. I really want us to know that it is God's desire that will flourish. Success, brethren, as I close, it's a result of decision that we make. You have to make that decision. You know, failure too is a result of a decision. If you see somebody that failed, they decided to fail. Whether they agree with it or not, that they decided to fail, it's just like that. When you see somebody that wants to succeed now, they will decide. They will make a determination. It comes with discipline. When you have a vision, when you have a goal, right, you will be determined to discipline yourself just because you have a goal. And when you determine to discipline yourself, you have made a decision to succeed. And you will surely succeed. You will. So I want to tell you this morning that as we all begin to come one after the other, testifying to the goodness of God, you know, we want it to continue. We want it to go round. Women's ministry, men's ministry, youth ministry, children ministry. We want testimony to keep coming. We want everybody to be testifying. We don't want this blessing to just be in one area. We want everyone. We want to have a lot of establishment, you know, organizations springing forth, ideas coming up, everybody dwelling, coming to be to live a fulfilled life. When we can study, when we can meditate, and when we can obey the instruction that He has given us. I believe I made it so simple enough for you to understand that you are destined to succeed. You need to understand the purpose of your existence, and that purpose is to carry out what God had written about your life. So don't give up. If there's anyone here, you've been trying it, don't give up. See that grace of God upon you is what will make the study, the meditate, the obeying of the word easy for you. When you can just release yourself, He will take it over from there. I cannot do it without you. I cannot do it without you. I cannot do it without you. Oh Lord, my God, I cannot do it without you. I cannot do it without you. I cannot do without you. Oh.
have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.